And that was Holly McGarry and Benjamin Burns from the trio called Honeysuckle. And that song was called Vagabond. And we're live here in the studio with Holly McGarry, who is a native Sandpoint gal who went away to Boston to study at the Berklee School of Music and has just been playing music since then quite a bit. Welcome, Holly.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
It's very nice to have you. And what fun. It's always nice. I think this is probably the fourth time you've been in the studio. Plus, I interviewed you once in your house.
Yes.
That first time with that little recorder. Did you ever hear that interview?
I did. It's been a while.
Yeah.
But yeah.
It's fun to,
good times.
It's fun to rehear that. And we are recording this, by the way. This is 88.5 KRFY. For a later play, we'll probably have it on our website at krfy.org. And we'll probably replay it during the winter sometime on Between the Notes, so just so you know. But we're really interested in hearing how you've been and what you've been doing. I think you were here last year when you came through.
Yeah.
So how are you, Holly McGarry, and how is Honeysuckle doing?
Doing well. It's always strikes and gutters with music, I'd say. But we've gotten a lot of good glimmers of hope to keep us going. So yeah, it's been an adventure.
Playing not just with Honeysuckle, the trio with Chris and Ben,
mm-hmm.
but also you've been playing a little bit on your own.
Yeah, most of the venue gigs I've been playing with Honeysuckle this last year and a half or so. I played in Boston. They hire artists to play downtown in the summer months for, you know, tourists and things like that. So that's been sort of fun, being outdoors and playing some of the songs that didn't quite make it into the band, but, you know, that I still like to have around.
Original Holly songs.
Yeah.
From the old days. You know, let's just back up a minute to where you really started. I mean, I think you started when you were 15. We talked about some of this the first time I interviewed you, and it kind of came out of the you love to write.
Mm-hmm.
And then Doug Bond kind of put a guitar in your hand or something. I don't know exactly how that came about, but just for the heck of it, why don't you tell us a little bit about that beginning? What prompted you to get into music?
Sure. I have a very distant memory of, I think my mom one time on a family vacation trip, she picked up a Gene Autry CD and a Pete Seeger CD. And, I don't really listen to much Gene Autry anymore, but I just really fell in love with his sound and the sound of the guitar at the time as a kid. And I just kind of started bugging my parents about, you know, I want to learn how to play guitar. And so when I was 11, my dad found Doug Bond here in town. And it's just one of those things, you know, certain things I think people can get really discouraged if they don't find that right mentor or teacher. And I was just really lucky to find a really great friend and mentor in Doug. And he just kind of, he pushed me to, you know, of course play the guitar, but also really encouraged me to get involved in the choir program at the middle school and high school. And then John Brownell kind of helped foster the whole love of singing. And though Doug doesn't really write that much, he has a deep respect for original music. So it was kind of him and, you know, my friends and the Shook Twins and John Craigie. I remember the Shooks made me a deal because I used to go to their house concerts when they'd come back through town. They said, well, if you can write 8 original songs, we'll put you on a show. And so that summer I wrote the 12 songs that became the Small Town Kids record. So it's good. I don't know. Good motivation.
I think that was a gift.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
I love that CD, Small Town Kids.
Yeah, thank you.
I mean, really, it's always my go-to feel-good CD to listen to in the car, especially. So Doug put the guitar in your hand and gave you some chords and things like that. Do you remember the first, I remember seeing you at open mics doing Blackbird.
Yeah.
Was that the first song you learned? That's a hard song, by the way.
It wasn't the first one, although, you know, Doug is smart, and he certainly knows how to teach kids to, you know, play guitar. He found out early on that that was my favorite song, so that was kind of the carrot that he dangled out in front of me, you know. keep practicing, keep learning, and I'll teach you Blackbird. And so when he finally taught me, that was one of my favorites to play for a long time.
So just for a moment, let's switch gears from the guitar to the voice.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know exactly how to explain your voice, but it is so unique and so special. I love hearing you sing.
Thank you.
Above all else, because
Thank
the
you.
Guitar is almost really accompanying your voice.
Mm-hmm.
When did you find that voice, your voice?
I was pretty shy. I mean, I didn't really even like talking to Doug in lessons. I was so shy. He would just sort of write down what I was supposed to do. But for whatever reason, he was pretty relentless, and I thank him eternally for that. I auditioned for the middle school choir, and I think getting in really bolstered my self-confidence in that a lot, and just getting involved with other, you know, guys and girls who kind of were more outgoing about their singing and things like that. It sort of made me more outgoing as well. And, you know, we traveled and did competitions and trying out for solos, and that all really got me a lot more comfortable with it. And then, you know, Doug and some other people, once I'd learned a few, you know, full songs, they'd let me like play their set breaks, and that really helped build up the confidence and also the repertoire at the same time. So it was really, yeah, choir and you know, just starting to get out there and play in front of people really helped.
And so we're just talking about a 14, 15, maybe 16-year-old young girl.
Mm-hmm.
And you had that kind of motivation. That's pretty rare.
I don't know. I was just lucky. I couldn't have known as a kid that I was really going to like playing guitar. I just had the idea in my head, and I was just really lucky. You know, my dad said he'd never had to bug me to practice or anything. I think, you know, it's such a gift that I didn't appreciate before. A lot of people struggle a long time to find their passion or things that they're passionate about. And, you know, I was really lucky that age 11, I found that, and it just kind of only got more interesting from there.
But it wasn't just a pastime. It was something that brought something essential into your life.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, if you don't feel like you have a voice, it gives you a platform, you know, and a lot of different things. And as a kid, I think you don't always feel like you have that say, you know, or whatever your life situation. But, you know, mm-hmm. as a kid, that really felt like something pretty special.
And it was yours.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Something powerful and yours. And slowly but surely you received recognition for it and felt more and more comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would be great to hear a song right now and then talk a little bit more about the songwriting, how it has evolved.
Sure.
And then we'll get into what you've been doing.
Okay.
But right now we'd love to hear a song, if you could just introduce it and then give us that.
So this is a song called Green Line, and I wrote it my first year in school with Benjamin Burns, my good friend, and he's also in Honeysuckle. Not a song we play a lot as the band, but it's one of those that I like keeping in rotation when I play by myself.
Used to carry all the world upon my shoulders just to bring it to your feet. Now there's a ghost who rides a green line every morning, looks a lot like me. It's been years since you left home, faded pictures on my walls are all that's left. But you still haunt me. Thank you. is flesh, hollow bones, an aching heart. The nest we built by hand, twig by twig, just cracked and fell apart. Roll your words into my songs, try to hide all the scars beneath the lines and the lies you told. Never understood your smile as you said, I miss you but I'm glad that you're gone. Was it the way goodbye tasted on your
That was, I don't know if I've ever heard that song. I love that.
Oh, thank you.
It's beautiful.
Thank you very much.
And you wrote that quite a while ago, or?
Yeah, I guess it's been maybe 3 years mm-hmm. ago mm-hmm. now. Yeah.
Since you went to Berkeley.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, let's talk just a little bit about that and then kind of go back to the beginning of your songwriting. You graduated from high school and something motivated you to make the big leap to Boston.
Yeah, well, so I graduated a semester early from the high school, and I really enjoyed my middle school and my high school experience. There's a lot of teachers, you know, that I'm friends with to this day, and students, of course. But I felt like there were certain things that I wanted to experience before college, you know, in that in-between time, but I wasn't sure if I, you know, there's always that fear if you take a leap year, you know, are you going to be motivated to go back to college? So to me, it felt like a good idea to have those extra 4 months in between. And so I applied to a couple schools in Portland, Oregon, because that's where I always thought that I would like to live someday. I love Gillian Welsh and David Rawlings. That's an obsession I've had for a long time. And my dad found that they met and went to Berklee College of Music. I hadn't heard of before. And, you know, so I went on a limb and I applied. And, you know, I only applied to 3 schools, which was not super wise. But Berklee accepted me and they gave me a partial scholarship. And so I felt like it would be a little crazy of me to go, but crazier, you know, not to take that opportunity. It's been amazing. It's been difficult being so far from home because I do love everyone back here. But, you know, I just feel like I've been very much rewarded by the universe for going over there.
And Boston is not a small town.
Not quite as small as Sandpoint, yeah.
So how was that transition just to a larger, bigger population and a larger, you know, just the traffic?
It was difficult. You know, you get so used to going to the supermarket and seeing people that you've known your whole life. And then, you know, you can't even wave at people on the street. So it was difficult. You know, I, you know, had tearful conversations with my dad about coming home, you know, but I think that's most people their first year or even 2 years. But, you know, I found, you know, my friend group and that ended up being, the guys in Honeysuckle and in another band, Gray Season. And it just kind of like expanded from there through musical connections. So it, you know, it ended up being good. I still have trouble living in the city, but I think it's hard for a band not to have kind of a larger home base. unless you're touring all the time, you know, you can make up for it that way. But, yeah.
It sounds like the music is what kind of motivated you and kind of sustained you in the beginning until you found your tribe,
yeah.
Your musical tribe.
Yeah, absolutely. I just looked for people wearing flannel shirts.
And I know you found them.
I did.
Ben looks like a lumberjack.
Yeah, he was supposed to be born in Sandpoint, I think.
Yeah, I bet he'd like it here.
I think so.
So we'll talk a little bit more about the future, but let's back up a little bit to songwriting in general. In the beginning, you learned to play the guitar and you found your voice, which was essential. And then at some point in time, you wrote a song. I know that when I've interviewed you before, you talked about writing was also your companion.
Yeah. I mean, I love, it's funny. I was going through the rest of my stuff that's still at home, and I found a lot of old school papers. And, you know, especially, you know, in middle school, I had Linda Navarre as one of my teachers, and you know, Miss Crossingham, and just a lot of really, and in elementary school, you know, Miss Darling and others who were really fostered that love of reading and writing, which is so great because, you know, for most kids, you don't just know that you're going to be interested in something. It kind of takes a teacher who loves it and shows you just how, you know, great those different worlds, you know, of math or writing or science or whatever it is can be. So, you know, the teachers that I had throughout my life really encouraged it. And when I got into high school and into the, you know, honors and AP courses there, really great people in that program and, you know, and the, you know, grade level English programs as well. But, they really encouraged, a deep love for it. And they encouraged my songwriting as well. You know, they allowed me to, for certain projects, bring in songs or turn poems into songs. And that was really great that they, you know, every teacher that I had really in the Sandpoint area, you know, let kids go outside the box if it fit within their passion. And I think that's really important. Yeah.
That's wonderful to hear because that doesn't always happen. And they must have seen something in you, that deep thought, feeling process. And how did they foster turning thoughts and feelings into lyrics? Or did you just kind of find that on your own and they fit into a song, they fit into the melody line of a chord progression?
Well, it was a few different things. I remember Miss Osse's class in high school, we had to write like a short story. And so I asked if I could take just like experimental things, if I could take the song titles and stories from the songs in Small Town Kids and put that into a short story. And so that was really fun. You know, they let me do that. And I did that with a few things. I would write like little short stories and turn them into a song, or take a song and turn it into a short story, which was really kind of cool. Cause, I mean, there's something so fun and interesting about listening to a song and having that very concise story that leaves a lot to the imagination. But it's also fun as a person who wrote it to expand it the way that you would want that story to be. I think that was a really cool exercise that I should probably start trying to do again, because I think it helps.
That's wonderful. I was just thinking about when you hear a song and some of your lyrics in your songs, many of them actually, they're, I don't want to say catchy, but they really bring about a feeling mm-hmm. and a thought process into another level. And that is, to me, the sign of a good song, when you catch something in the lyrics. And what you're saying is those kind of lyrics then turn it into a story that has a life of its own, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah. That was just one, you know, thing that mm-hmm. I stumbled upon going through old things, and I just remembered how
I think if I was an English
nice
teacher, I think you could take your favorite Beatles tune, turn it into a story.
Oh,
but
yeah.
A creative story, not an obvious story.
Sure, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really fun to think of all the possibilities. I mean, there's a Bobby Gentry song. I'm trying to think of the name of it, but it's like Tallahatchie Bridge, maybe. Mm-hmm. And it has like a very ambiguous kind of sinister storyline. And, you know, that's one I just remember thinking about you know, knights, you know, exactly. Like what were they throwing off the bridge, you know, but it's those songs that are, I love that kind of storytelling. Mm-hmm. So
this is 88.5 KRFY, and we're live in the studios with Holly McGarry, singer-songwriter, native Sandpoint gal, who's been out and about in the big world playing music as much as possible, it sounds like. And I am Susie Prez, the host here tonight. We're live in the studio, actually. We're talking about songwriting right now, and I'd like to talk about that a little bit more, but it'd be fun to hear another song, Holly.
Sure.
If you want to tell us all about it.
Sure. Let's see. So this one is called Josephine. It's also an older one, but this and the previous song, Green Line, sometimes there's, you know, I think as a songwriter, a lot of people write down things that they read or that they hear that kind of resonates with them, and they end up in their own songs. And sometimes somebody says something to you that kind of knocks the wind out of you, and so there's a line in this song that also ended up in the previous song just because it just kind of hung around with me.
it needed a little more time.
Yeah, some more processing. But yeah, the line is, I miss you, but I'm glad you're gone. And for some reason, that just really threw me for a loop at the time.
Josephine, don't you think you've had enough? They mistook your innocence for charm. Now the sick moon's on the rise, I see the rising scarred in his jaw. There's ghosts who live inside these walls. I wonder if you walk these halls anymore. Thank you.
That was great. Thank you. That was Josephine, played live in the studios of 88.5 KRFY by our very own Holly McGarry. All of us think of you as ours, by the way, our very own. I guess that's what you get when you come from a small town and everyone exactly. knows you. However, that was a wonderful song. So I miss you, but I'm glad you're gone.
Yep.
Yeah. getting back to songwriting just a little bit more, there's a lot else to talk about tonight. Now that you have this band Honeysuckle and you're writing songs, do you write some of these newer songs as a band? I mean, is it one person that says, this is my new song, let's do it? Or are you collaborating together?
It depends. I think for the last, you know, more recent stretch of time, it's been a little more collaborative. But it's usually one person brings in, you know, like a half a song, and then it kind of gets Frankenstein together. I have a new song called Catacombs, but really, I just brought in the framework, and then, you know, Chris and Ben kind of did the majority of arranging on it. We have a new song called Constellations that was mostly Chris. Which is really cool because I've done a lot of writing with Ben in the past, but it's really nice to have Chris's voice, you know, represented a little more strongly in the group. You know, there is only three of us, so it's nice to kind of share that all. But yeah, it's been interesting, and I play banjo a little bit more in the group, so I'm kind of less the rhythm player and more kind of a supplemental instrument, but that in its own way is fun. You know, because I used to play in Cedar and Boyer and Harold's IGA, and I was kind of more a member in that way, you know, singing harmonies, and I like that equally as much as, you know, playing my own songs. And
so that's fun.
Yeah, absolutely. It's nice to have the variety even within mm-hmm. one group.
I know when you mentioned Gillian Welsh and Dave Rawlings, and I noticed it's always fun when he actually does a song because she's the one with the voice, and so to speak, but he is such an important part of that duo.
Oh, yeah.
With that lead guitar he plays so uniquely and his amazing, kind of interesting, unique harmony.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not ordinary.
Yeah. And we, you know, it's sort of embarrassing almost how much we've kind of studied their songwriting and their just arranging dynamic. But it's really impressive, the sound that they get and the power that they get from two people, you know. Their harmonies are really thoughtful. And we've heard interviews with them where they say they'll, you know, write something out and then they will sing painstakingly note by note to make sure the harmony is exactly what they want. So that's our new band thing. Anytime we're in the car now, we're we're practicing harmonies and we're painstakingly, you know, making sure that there's not a note in there that doesn't fit the way we want it. And it's great. It's really fun to kind of dissect some people's craft and you know, especially if it yields something that works well for you or your group too. And we study them very closely.
Well, that's a good group to study because that they've been very successful. Not so much like a big, huge name mm-hmm. out there, but just so good at what they do. Craftsperson of what they do. And you mentioned the sound that they have. You could hear it and you'd know immediately it was them. Yeah. And that's kind of what I hear in Honeysuckle. I think you are getting to that place where, oh, that's Honeysuckle. I mean, obviously your voice gives us that clue, but Honeysuckle as a whole is starting to have that. I think some of it is how you arrange a song mm-hmm. and kind of come in with a mandolin doing its thing and then coming mm-hmm. in with a heavy chop or something like that.
Yeah.
It starts to, you're honing yourselves into the group and your own sound.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I really hear that. And that's really fun. I can't wait to hear this new CD.
Thank you.
It's called, what is it called?
It's our baby. It's just self-titled, so it's mm-hmm. Honeysuckle.
Okay. Same logo on the front as mm-hmm. as the little EP that you came out with a while ago.
Yeah, we're, you know, trying to keep a brand, I guess.
Mm-hmm. You're branding. That's a good thing. A manager would tell you that. Brand yourself. And what was that song that you mentioned Chris wrote recently?
Oh, Constellations.
Constellations.
Yeah, so we're working on some new stuff now.
I think you posted something on your Facebook page, and you were playing live, and I think you did that song, and I noticed it.
Yeah, it's fun.
For him to come out with the lead vocals. I think he was doing lead vocals on some song anyways. So that's always fun. And I guess that would keep you kind of interested and inspired to do what you do. So let's talk a little bit about what's coming up. You know, I guess I could start by saying when I was watching you play at the Poor Authority the other night, I instantly thought in my mind, did you ever think that you would be doing what you're doing when you were just starting out? And it's not just playing at the Poor Authority. You're playing out now a lot more. You have probably a goal. We talked about that before the show here tonight. But you've done some amazing things. Why don't you tell us, like, about the Boston Music Award and the NPR classification that you just received?
Sure.
So just tell us about the good news.
Yeah. I mean, it's you know, it's a hard path. Well, any career out there now, I think, is. But, you know, it's easy to get discouraged, but we've been really fortunate this year. One huge honor that we were paid, NPR named us one of the top 10, you know, best new bands out there so far for 2016.
Well, we're coming to the end of 2016.
So hopefully we keep hanging in there. But no, it's such a... you know, they're such trendsetters and, you know, there's so much that they've, you know, promoted and brought to life in terms of up-and-coming artists and such that, you know, I've always followed them and respected their taste-making and things like that. So it was complete surprise and a huge honor.
How did they hear you? How did they find you? Because there's so much music out there and some pretty darn good bands.
There is. We, you know, part of it is always... playing the game in no matter what you're doing. And that doesn't have to be, I think that has some bad, some people see that in a bad way when you say that, but you can always do things in good intentions. And so we had a few friends who, reached out to them and, you know, kind of pushed our music, and that didn't necessarily have to mean anything, but, we were fortunate enough to have some really talented writers as friends, and they actually used one of our friends, you know, what he wrote in his recommendation on the site, which was kind of cool.
So it was like a review.
Yeah, yeah, and that we were just lucky that you know, the reviews that they sent in caught their eye, and I guess, you know, when they listened, they did enjoy it. So
I would say I mean, sure they heard thousands of bands. Top 10?
Yeah. Yeah. It was, I didn't even know. They didn't contact us when they put it up. It was fun, actually. I was working and some friends came in for the next shift and they were like, oh, congratulations, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I said, oh, for what? And they pulled it up and yeah, it was really, really fun. And the Boston Music Awards, kind of the same thing. You know, Boston is a big pond and, you know, we've really worked hard in these last four plus years to sort of start carving out a name there. And so to be recognized in that city amongst a lot of other really incredible bands, another huge, huge honor. And even if we don't win in our categories, you know, it's just fun to be up there with other greats. Right. So
just to be picked.
Yeah, absolutely.
Into the classification. So all of these things are like stepping stones and to this bigger goal. So why don't we talk a little bit about, you know, are you just going to kind of play small venues? I mean, the Club Possum, I think, is one of the ones you mentioned that you really like to play at because it's a listening venue.
Yeah.
But does the future look like in the best case scenario for you and Honeysuckle?
Well, I think definitely the next stepping stone is getting out there and touring in a lot of different regions and not just, you know, pockets in New England and pockets in the Northwest. There's a lot of country to cover. And, you know, I really think my most ideal scenario would, you know, to someday be respected by the people that I respect now musically, you know. That's another reason why I love Gil and Dave so much is they haven't achieved outrageous commercial success, but they are respected by, you know, most musicians around. And I just think that's a really beautiful thing. You know, and it'd be great venue wise. I love intimate venues like Passim and things, or, you know, beautiful theaters. You see where the Milk Carton Kids are playing now, you know, and that's just, it's incredible what they're doing as just an acoustic duo. So that, you know, that would be amazing if we could achieve that someday.
Who are the Milk Carton Kids?
They're a great acoustic duo, and they are, you know, it's pretty impressive, just two people around a microphone, and they're hilarious too. They just, it's very kind of traditional leaning music, but just utter like stand up comedian style banter in between. But you know, just the two of them as acoustic artists, they play huge, gorgeous theaters, mm-hmm. all across, you know, the U.S. and in Europe, I'm sure. And that'd be a good spot to hit someday.
Well, I hear the European tour is really fun once you get to go to like Great Britain and the Isles up above, mm-hmm. Ireland and things like that.
Yeah.
That can be kind of bring you out into the world more and people hear you. Do you know Dave and Gillian?
I did meet them once.
Uh-huh.
We played the Newport Folk Festival, not this year, but last. And we saw Dave walking around the festival grounds. And, you know, so I went up and I talked to him, and just really the sweetest guy, which was a huge relief. You know, you build up these people in
your
mind.
I'm going to go talk to him.
No, just the biggest smile, the nicest guy. He brought his parents up there with them, and yeah, just very sweet. Met Gillian briefly as well, you know, mm-hmm. shook her hand, and we were talking a little bit backstage.
Did you hand them a CD?
I think we were a little too mystified to know what to do. But yeah, that's definitely, I called Doug Bond right after that, and guess who I met, you know?
Absolutely. That's a big deal. Did they get to hear you play?
They did not. And honestly, it was a bit of a relief. We played one of their songs, and I just kind of started thinking about how amazing it was to be there. And I just sort of drifted off, and I missed a section, and I messed up their song. The one and only time they ever could have heard us play one of their songs, and I messed it up.
Was that Sing This Rock and Roll?
It was actually Elvis Presley Blues.
Oh, the Elvis. Yeah,
but
sure.
Yeah, so that was sort of funny.
Well, nerves can do that. But, so we also were talking about moving on and the future, and you've talked about more full-time touring. Mm-hmm. Of course, you know what that means. You need to have a Volkswagen bus, right?
Yeah.
That'd be nice. But also larger festivals. I know that's a way to really get your voice and your sound out there.
Yeah. And, you know, they usually treat their artists really well. I know a lot of bands that, you know, it's summertime is sort of mm-hmm. festival season, you know, but it is hard, you know, as an independent artist, I think you try to be as independent as possible for as long as you can, you know, and partially, and that's financially based. And also, I think it's good to know, you know, the ins and outs yourself before you hand the reins over to anybody else.
Such as a manager or something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I think if we could tour and get to the point where we could have a booking agent, that would just make it easier to be on the road mm-hmm. full time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's definitely something that we're aspiring to, hopefully in the near future, but you just never know.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Well, why don't we hear another song live in the studios of 88.5 KRFY? We're here with Holly McGarry, and we'd love to hear another song.
Okay. This song is called Not an End, and it's one of my other older records. I think it might be on Ill-Defined Lines. But it's just a kind of a sweet, simple love song, I guess.
I know that I have already lost. I know the plans we made cannot come true. But there is not a single day that's passed where I have not been missing you. So take me back to where it all began, back to when all the world was new. And I will state a simple prayer for us and keep my heart forever true to you. So when the wind is whispering your name, my reply will always be the same. And in darkness when we meet again, no death is not an end. No death is not an end. Not
That was short and very sweet.
Thank you.
That's where your poetry and your feeling life comes in, the emotions of that song. Beautiful.
Thank you.
I don't think I've ever heard that before. Is it on Small Town Kids?
I think it's on Ill-Defined Lines. But yeah, just another one of those that doesn't get played very often.
Mm-hmm. Well, we got to hear it. How wonderful is that? And you have an opportunity coming up for people to hear you in a very special setting. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Sure. Yeah. One thing I love about this community and its music scene is the house shows that pop up around here. And lucky enough to be playing one of those with Marshall McLean, Marshall McLean Band, on September 30th at the Cedar and Boyer house show location. And I think it's really going to be fun. We don't have very many tickets still available, but you can find them online, or we'll probably have a few at the door still. But it should be a good night. It's all acoustic and very intimate setting, so it should be fun.
So the Marshall McLean Band is out of Spokane, and Justin Landis is in it.
Yep.
And will it be just him and Marshall? Because sometimes they do just a duo.
I believe it's going to be just he and Marshall. I think that we're trying to get some collaborative things going on. So I might try to play a little bit with maybe Jen, Justin, and Marshall. Mm-hmm. Or, you know,
she plays bass.
Yeah, she's phenomenal. Mm-hmm. She and Justin both. So yeah, it's going to be some surprises, even for me.
So, here you go.
But yeah, that's what I love about.
So this is house show or a house concert. It's at Cedar and Boyer House place. But if you want to buy tickets, you said they'd be online. Where would you go?
I think the site is called like Brown Paper Bag Tickets.
Okay.
And you can just type in Holly McGarry or Marshall McLean Band. It should pop up, or on Facebook, I think, under Sandpoint House Shows, there should be a link there for people.
And that is on the 30th of this month?
Yep. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, man. I'm not going to be out of town.
I'd be there.
Oh, gee. That's going to be pretty amazing, actually. And so it's a house concert on the 30th of September. There are still a few tickets available, and that's with Marshall McLean Band and Holly McGarry.
Yeah.
All right. So where else are you playing while you're home? You're home for a whole month. That's pretty amazing. And gives you some time to write some new songs.
Yeah, let's hope. I don't want to jinx anything.
No, okay.
No, that's fine. I'm playing, the Bartlett, I'm playing for the first time there as, I think it's called like Northwest of Nashville Showcase. And that's with Marshall as well and some other Spokane artists. That's on September 27th. And I think that's going to be a really good time. I've heard just the most amazing things about that venue. And I'm excited. I don't get the opportunity to play Spokane very often, but it really seems like their music scene is very vibrant these days. So that's great. And there's a lot more crossover, I feel like, Sandpoint to Spokane, which is nice, mm-hmm. getting those bands over here and vice versa. The McDuff's Beer Hall on October 8th, and then Idaho Poor Authority on October 14th.
So a few other opportunities.
Yeah.
The house concert is a unique venue, though. And just for a moment, we can mention how that works. It's really, you're there to hear the music. And it's so, I don't know if I want to use the word intimate, but it's just so special because you can really hear the music and it's a interaction between the audience and the musicians as far as that listening and just the offering of the music.
Yeah. And it's great too. Jen and Justin do such a great job as hosts, you know, really making it a great atmosphere and a really, you know, family friendly. It's really friendly for just about anybody, which is great, especially since, you know, there's not an abundance of, you know, underage venues or venues where you can take your kids along. So it's nice. It's laid back. And yeah, I like it.
And before we started the show tonight here on 88.5 KRFY, we were talking about the future. Besides going on the road, are you going on the road from Boston or is there a move in the future as far as you know?
I think that there will be a move in the future. I am, you know, eternally grateful to the Boston area for everything they've given us. And I think it's always going to be, you know, a second home for all of us. But, you know, it is fairly expensive. You know, none of us can afford at the moment to just do the band, you know, so that presents a challenge. You can't, you know, just leave for 2 months and have that same job when you get back. So we've discussed, you know, moving further outside the Boston area, or we've talked about Nashville maybe, or Portland, Oregon. You know, I love the idea of Portland and being closer. But, you know, there's so many band friends of mine where you just kind of have to make that sacrifice of being in a city for a while. You know, the Shook Twins are right in the middle of that, you know, but it's paid off in such beautiful ways for them.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so, you know, sometime in the next year, I think we'll migrate somewhere, maybe a little less expensive. I do love Boston though. Mm-hmm. So
I'm not sure how inexpensive Portland is, but yeah. Boston must be very expensive.
Yeah. And you know, yeah, Seattle and Portland, the rent prices are creeping up, but that's, you know, that's most cities these mm-hmm. days.
Well, if Spokane has an emerging music scene that's getting some notoriety, maybe Spokane.
Yeah, something to put on the list for mm-hmm. sure.
You never know.
Yeah.
It'd be fun to hear one more song before we wrap it up. We are live in the studios of 88.5 KRFY, our listener-supported community radio for North Idaho. I've Susie Prez, and I've been enjoying my conversation with Holly McGarry here, getting caught up on what's going on and hearing some amazing music live in the studio. So another song.
Sure. This one's called Something Worth Having. And I like the arrangement a lot with the band, but it's still one that I like to play by myself.
I've been running so long that my skin's turned to ash and my heart's made of coal. My soul's made of glass, I'd like to grow again. Something worth having. In waves, pulling me under, cleansing my soul in its own way. bottle in my hands, no one left to pray from the bottom of a well. Is this heaven or hell? My days are haunted by my nights, and all I'm asking you for is a light to see by, a light to see by. Shadows around through the dark alleys of this tired town on the sleepy west coast. But every time I try to go, my eyes spill over like the muddy shores of the swollen river that I call. Someday I'll shatter that mirror in my soul, let all the shards reflect the gold and praise of the sun. And then time would lose its hold on me, I'd be free of how the world perceives. They'd let me be, let me grow again to something worth having.
Sure, but that might be my most favorite song of yours.
Thank you.
I think that every time I hear it. But when you're in the studio, this is a beautiful sound room, and oh, that's just beautiful. I like that line, all I'm asking for, a light to see by. I don't know, the whole thing was beautiful.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you. And I just want to say thanks for coming in, Holly. I hope that you come by every single time you come to Sandpoint.
Oh, absolutely.
And share everything you share. And it's really a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you. Now, me and the band, we all love KRFY. It's a really amazing platform. So
yeah, I can't wait to see the guys again someday. But I hope they come by.
Yeah.
And I hope that your time here is fruitful and exciting and inspiring and enjoyable.
Thank you so much.
Just want to remind everyone that there'll be a house concert with the Marshall McLean Band and Holly McGarry on the 30th of September. And you can find out more about that. I think it's on your Facebook site, too.
Yeah, it
and
should
be. And
you
can go to Facebook and like Holly's Facebook site or Honeysuckle.
Thank you.
And you'll hear and get updates about what's going on. So there are still some tickets available. And so I guess we'll say goodbye until we see you next time. And like I said, best of everything to you. Your talent is so wonderful and so just really enlightening and inspiring. So stick with it, Holly.
Thank you very much.
You bet. And we're going to go off with, by the way, that last song, I didn't even say what it was. I mean, it was called Something Worth Having by Holly McGarry. And we're going to go out this evening with a song by Holly McGarry and Benjamin Burns called Arrows. And this is 88.5 KRFY. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Trying to kill that
little bluebird. She keeps singing mercy in the mire.